On to item 20, staff reports. Gail, do you or your staff have any reports?
I just have a short one. I just wanted to take a minute and acknowledge the hard work and dedication of Cicero staff. We are continuing to serve our members and serve the system during these challenging times. And so I just wanted to acknowledge to the board and all of their efforts and thank them once again. That's all I had.
I can speak for everyone here fairly confidently. We're very impressed with the manner in which you've continued operations and serve our members and retirees. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I do not see any outside professionals. So on to 20C, trustee comments.
I can read all my comments again. Or
yes, we. John was nice enough to help us pass the time in closed session and report it out. So anyone else have anything?
Anybody else have any comments on CalPERS? I had a couple of thoughts on some of the things that were the most impressive to me. Turned out to be an interesting presentation on unconscious bias. I wasn't exactly sure what kind of bias I was going into the meeting, but it seemed like a very
That's
even-handed presentation.
It. That's why they call it unconscious, Jerry.
I'm sorry? Unconscious bias.
That's why they call it unconscious.
I was unconscious most of the time. That is not true. Stop it. Let's see. The presentation by Dr. Robert Spalding was, I will say, was sobering. This is on China. And I presented a question to him by basically saying, what I'm getting out of this is that you should avoid China at all cost. Or if you feel the need to get involved in some way or another from a pension investment perspective, do so with great caution. I said, is that about it? And he said, that's it. Avoid it. He was presented some very scary scenarios about what the command and control climate is like in China and what it means to investors like Cicero. And frankly, it was a little scary. I don't know if anyone else agreed, but
I fully agreed. No, that was, he just sat for 1 hour. If he was using notes, you didn't see them. And on a nonstop basis, basically said, be incredibly cautious about dealing with China and where, what the concept of a law-abiding society like ours is not the Chinese system.
See, I agree with Jerry on the bias presentation, but it should have definitely been longer. That wasn't near long enough.
Sorry, I heard all the words, Mike, but I just didn't understand what you meant.
I was agreeing with you on the bias presentation, but it should have been at least twice, at least 2 hours. It wasn't near long enough.
All right. Yeah. Well, we didn't spend that much time covering just your biases. So that's why the extra hour was not. No, I'm just kidding.
I tried to get them in there, but they didn't want to talk about them.
The there was an interesting presentation on cybersecurity. That was a bit sobering too. The two key facts I got out of that was that these individuals indicated that tests that have been made of most organizations to see whether or not they can get in, hackers can get into your, what they described as the family jewels, was what, 80%? They were 80% successful in getting in to the individual's key files, which was a little frightening. OSERS, and I forget what kind of schedule we use, but OSERS indicated that they do phishing tests once a week on their staff. I don't recall that we do it quite that regularly, but they indicated that that was a very good standard. So weekly spear phishing efforts for the staff, which I thought was kind of interesting. I don't know who else was on the call that may have picked that up from the staff, but it was worth considering.
Now, I took notes on that. We don't need my notes now on any of this, but yes, that was I thought a key, something that certainly we would want to think about as the phishing, how to test for it and how to react to it and how to put systems in place that are ongoing. In attempting to keep your staff notified and aware of what's happening and what there are people constantly finding ways to hack your system? Yeah. And how do you keep your staff up to the minute on recognizing those? And what systems can you put in place electronically to protect yourself?
On that point, John, I heard when I was driving, so I wasn't in a position to take any notes, but so I heard this on the radio. There's been an emerging story out of the Microsoft camp about the failings of the update process, that is Microsoft's periodic updates, security updates to its systems, whether and to what extent it has either mandated them or suitably encouraged users to update. The short version of this is the number of software systems that are Microsoft-based that are used throughout the world that have not been regularly updated is astounding. And there's currently a rather significant hack that's occurring that is being attributed to both Russian and Chinese sources that have had a great deal of influence both on private entities and government agencies. And the common thread in all of the hacks is that the systems that were successfully hacked had not been updated. And so Microsoft's being faulted for not waving its arms and jumping up and down more about the security updates and that they're, quote, required versus, you know, hey, we got an update, here it is, it shows up in the upper right-hand corner of your screen kind of thing. Yep. So the point is, and I'm sure Gail's on top of this, but for our systems, the number one thing we can do is ensure that for any software, Microsoft or otherwise, that we're using, that you've got to have the most recent updates, because it was astounding to me the number of users worldwide who had not updated. Anyway, so I just wanted to report that. It was interesting.
I see Mike's hand up, so I'll
do it. Yes, Todd, I just, have we had, I don't remember that I've ever heard one. Has there ever been a report on our system and what we're doing and how IT is handling that and what the training is for employees and that type of thing? I'd be interested in maybe hearing sometime about what our system is doing about security.
I know that's a tricky one because you don't want to give a blueprint out. Sure. Here's where we're at. I think we'd be better off talking offline on that, and we'll getting you some information that way.
Okay.
Sounds yeah. good. Thanks, Mike. Any other?
The one last thing on that. We used to deal with this 15 years ago when I was involved in the business, and nothing seems to have gotten any better on this. And this is extraordinarily frustrating to me, that some of the best entry efforts into people's systems are low tech, not high tech. There seems to be considerable emphasis, and I understand that, on systems access to various things. And yet the low tech responses, that's another phone, sorry about that. I'm overwhelmed with technological gadgets, but the low tech entries are still working. And that's the scariest part. And I mean, low tech entries, like calls from people saying, I need to come over to your place, but I need to also check out something soon. Could you give me a password? And somebody does. So the incredible amounts of money that are spent on systematic approaches to security are overcome by the most inane low-tech breaches, by loaning passwords, not shutting down your PCs when you've left them for 2 hours, or just calling in saying, can you give me a number? I need to get into your system. And someone says, sure. That's mind-boggling to me.
Hi, this is Mr. Smith from the Social Security Administration. Please confirm your number. You mean correct. Dumb stuff like that? Yeah.
That's right. And it works. Still works.
Terrible. Any other comments before we adjourn? Hearing none. This meeting's adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
See you, everybody.
Good to see you all.
Thank you, Todd. Take care.
Likewise.
Welcome.
Happy International Bagpipe Day.
Yes.